Nothing is more chaotic and all over the place than Maryland's 2025 budget for the 2026 fiscal year.
It's very questionable.
Words, I have looked at two more interviews. One with Cuomo, America's favorite former hot stud. And this will be, and I just want to kind of mark it, this will be part two. So you guys will get probably two episodes this week because I don't know. I want us to take our time with the budget because there's so much to cover.
It's going to be a long one.
If you live in Maryland, I really want you to understand what's happening here because our governor is promising a lot.
Live anywhere, because I think a lot of elected officials try to pull shit like this, where no one wants to be the bad guy, so you try to finagle a bunch of shit and like cover a bunch of shit up. But at the end of the day, under all the shit, is my taxes are going up, my fees are going up. It is going to cost me more to live here. So you can cover it in whatever, but you can't piss on my face and tell me it's rain. And I don't think this is the only state that shit like this happens in. I don't even think this is the only country. I feel like this happens everywhere because no one wants to be the bad guy. But like, this budget's fucking nuts.
Yeah, Westmore, you are Chun-Li. Sorry. I'm just saying.
Atachiwasa.
You are Chun-Li, the bad guy. Like, I'm sorry. I guess it's important to start with the governor's side of things. He is saying that 2/3 of Marylanders are going to get tax cuts or not see any changes.
Before we go through like everyone's sides, think we should just go through the raw numbers because I don't really care what your side is. You put this in a bill, like this is your budget. I don't care like what your side of it is. Let's talk through like the numbers that are in here.
Okay, so let's start with cuts. Okay,
increases.
Okay,
so sports betting. There's a couple sin taxes. Which sin taxes, I will say, are a very normal way to recuperate revenue. You tax people more for sins. Gambling, alcohol, marijuana, like, very normal. Pornography, if you're in that kind of state, whatever. So sports betting. Going from 15 to 30% tax, that's a 100% increase. Table betting at casinos. 15 to 20% tax. That's a 15% or 25% increase. Your admissions test is going up to $30 and the late fee is doubling to $30 as well. That's a 100% increase on both of those. There's going to be a 75-cent fee on delivery for companies that's income is more, that's gross revenue is more than $500,000. So like that's going to be most of your deliveries. There's going to be a significant increase on cannabis tax, higher vehicle registrations if you use the 2-year option instead of the 3-year option, an additional fee for motorists who pay annually instead of biannually. Like, there's a lot of things going up. And then on the cut side and the hold side, that's where we see the freeze on the childcare subsidy. And even then, any additional childcare subsidies given will go to the most needy, which is bullshit because like what is most needy in a state where the like average income is in some parts of the state, like $140,000 a year. We have one of the highest average incomes in the country, but the cost of living also means that someone could be making $120,000 and still living paycheck to paycheck. The University of Maryland Systems is getting a $110 million cut.
Your tuition fee will be going up.
Sure will be. In order to cover the increase in Medicaid cost, the administration is asking for hospital and insurance companies to subsidize about $100 million of that. The Maryland Hospital Association, at the time that I looked at the article, had yet to comment because they're probably like, the fuck you mean? There have been some changes to itemized. They want to make changes to itemized versus standard deductions, where they actually want to remove itemized deductions as part of your tax refund and like taxing process. What that means for nonprofits is people can no longer like claim donations to nonprofits as deductible items because they can't itemize them anymore. So if you're a nonprofit, that's a problem. Throwing that out there for you. They also want to get rid of a program that they plan to institute that would allow for planning and training time for teachers to be like time on the clock. And then they are also cutting grants to community schools. They're like cutting that grant program for the time being. They are also cutting $200 million from the developmental disabilities like budget. Yeah, so that's just like the standard budget. And then Maryland is a very interesting state that transportation and education actually are not necessarily part of like the general budget. So transportation is a whole other shenanigans. They need about $420 million and are looking for another like $690 million through federal funding. Can't wait for that conversation. So they'll need to leverage those federal funds for the Baltimore Light Rail, known as the Red Line, the Wooster County Bridge out on the shore, and things like Interstate 85 and Route 15 out in Western Maryland. So they already have a bunch of federal projects that they've gotten federal funding for and now need more in order to complete the projects. This is just not great. Like, I don't know how else to say it. Like, you're $3 billion in the hole. The goal was to make over $2 billion in cuts and then use taxes and fees and changes. I believe they use like changes to the tax system in order to make up the other billion. And then you also have the blueprint, which it was an unfunded mandate, so eventually it will cost upwards of $3 billion. And this just seems like ways to nickel and dime our way there that will still end up costing people more money. And then they're like, well, we're not raising property taxes. Don't you worry. The counties are already doing it. They're sending the letters out. Like, anything that the state's not doing, the county's going to do it. But we haven't raised sales tax in Maryland, I think, since I was in high school. Like, I think we saw what happened in 2014 when you just took little and just like went around and took like little pieces to get like to get money from people, where you're like, if I take a little bit here and a little bit here and a little bit there, there'll be a commercial about Democrats fucking taxing the rain, which worked on my own mother. She said, they're taxing us so much that even taxing the rain. Hey, like, that's what happens. People think that you're taxing the rain, and it makes sense to them because all they see is little fee here, little fee here, little fee, little fee, little fee, little fee. Instead of just being blunt and saying, look, we ain't got no money, so we need to raise taxes. And just hitting people with a clean, easy tax. But I don't want to do that.
I'm
going to step back off my soapbox.
It's the hidden agenda for me. So I had a chance to listen to the governor. And one of the things that a senator from the Republican caucus said was that he talks about $2 billion in tax cuts, but he's only accounting for $300,000. Where's the other $1.5 billion in tax cuts?
Like, He said, I'm not seeing it. He said, I looked at my best. I'm not seeing it.
I screamed. I looked at his Chris Cuomo. I looked at his ABC 7 News interview. I will say one of the things that I really admire about Wes Moore is his ability to stay on message. You can try to get him to pivot to the left or the right. That man is staying on message.
Can I ask why are we going on Chris Cuomo? Like, is there like some data showing that a lot of Marylanders watch News Nation?
The question, Chris Cuomo wanted to know why you were there. He was just like, so why are you here?
I don't, does someone in the office have, like, a relationship? Like, I saw the clip, and I'm like, that's weird. Chris Cuomo's back on CNN. Like... And then I looked, and I was like, oh, he's still on News Nation. Why?
Chris Cuomo said, what makes your budget so good that it needs a national platform? I said...
Which, national platform is a stretch, my guy.
But not only that, the fact that Chris Cuomo read him like that was so shady. He said,
"Yeah,
now why are we talking about this? Because you can also tell that
Chris, why are you special?
Chris Cuomo was like, I have covered wars. I have covered sex scandals. The fact
including
that
my own brothers.
Won't. That you are sitting here before me talk about your state budget is crazy. So please explain why it is. And you know, the governor is touting the that he's getting rid of the estate tax, which, and I don't think I'm citing the right one, but. He's
How
getting
many people own estates?
Well, that's what. Well, when you transfer wealth, that's what it's called. Like,
sure, but the average person doesn't even have a fucking will. Because that's what we're really talking about. The average person doesn't have a fucking will, let alone any wealth to leave behind. And since you're adding money to their kid's college tuition, as well as how much they'll pay at the hospital when they birth the kid in the fucking first place, sounds like they'll have even less money in that estate. Like, great, you're getting rid of the estate tax. This isn't fucking New York or California. How many people do you think that affects?
I think it affects more than we think. I mean, Maryland has one of the higher incomes. I will say that on the other end of that, we do have very high, for those who have really high incomes, we also see the disparity of those who have very low incomes. So I think that we do have a significant gap. I do think that there are more, I will say that there are more wealthy people than I think we think.
There are wealthy people here. Maryland also has like, what is it, like 10 million people, 7 million people? Who fucking knows? Let's say it's 10. A little over a million of those people live in Montgomery County. Even if we're just going off of the 1%, like the wealthiness, like 1%, like the national average, even if we bump it to double, that's not that many people compared to how many people live in the county. Like, even if Maryland has a large number of wealthy people, how many people is it? It can't be more than the amount of people that will be affected by $200 million in disabilities getting cut.
I agree. I think that I only say this because he uses this, but in the same breath he says, but there's also a millionaire tax. Like, there is a tax for those people who are making 500,000 upwards to a million. Like, oh, the basement is 500,000 and up, so there is a tax. And he says we, which I thought was very interesting, and it just was like, who was helping
you? But did you see the other
quote?
But did you see the other quote? Because he did say we.
He said for those of us. I said,
oh, because he is in this bracket. So then someone asked him how much he will be paying, like, which one are you in? How much are you going to pay? And he was, like, not answering that.
Pop, but you know what, Sado, pop your shit. He said, we, us. I said, oh, Okay.
Yeah. Because he is in the we and the us. That's, listen, all these taxes you're adding on to rich people, most of these rich people are liberals. They don't care. That's great.
Well, not necessarily, because one of the things that has been cited is that when this tax was also introduced under the O'Malley era, who was the last Democratic governor, there was a drop of folks who fell under that bracket by, I believe someone said, I heard a quoted percentage of 30% of folks who left gonna leave the state.
Right. That, I'm saying, like, that's fine and that they can afford to pay it. The question is whether or not they will stay here.
Which, if that's what you're counting on, then that also hurts us. Because if we have folks that we're like, okay, these folks will help us cover these costs, and they're all like, oh, I'm moving.
I'm gonna go get my house in Florida. Or I'm gonna go get my home in Florida and stay there 6 months and one day of the year so I can just pop that residency over. Or if I have to work in DC, Virginia is right there.
Delaware
is right there. Philly is right there. Like, I don't have to live here.
And his corporate tax cut was only 1%. So I don't know how much. And he boasted that. He's like, well, we haven't seen, you know, a lot of the businesses were talking about the corporate tax. And so we've made a cut. And it's just like, what cut, girl? 1%? You're still not on a competitive plane with Virginia. You're still not on a competitive plane with other area, with other states who are on similar levels of you, with Maryland. And I guess my whole problem with this was, there was a couple of things I want to highlight. This is not completely a Westmore problem. It's not completely a Larry Hogan problem. I do think one of the problems with having a supermajority in a state is that you do get carte blanche on what you get to pass. And one of the things that our legislature likes to do is they love thoughts and ideas. All the girls and boys have liked to play with their toys. They have thoughts and ideas.
I had a joke, but it is so inappropriate that I'm like, if I say that, we would get canceled. So I'm just not going to say it. But I want us to laugh about it anyway.
There are a lot of unfunded mandates. The fact that we would pass the blueprint and say, well, we'll fund it at later.
What does that mean?
Crazy.
Like, I wish I could go to the bank and when they're like, I'm like, hey, I need a loan. And they're like, how are you going to pay for it? I'm like, I'll figure that out when you send me the bill.
No collateral, no nothing. Just
vibes.
And the problem with that is when you pass legislation and policy and especially if these things have a fiscal note and they're unfunded mandates, this is the problem. So, and there is blame to lay at Larry Hogan. There is blame to lay at the legislature, because y'all knew this was coming up for 8 years. Y'all knew that this was a problem. Y'all spent that ARPA money like Daddy's Black Card at Neiman Marcus. Like, y'all ran it up. It was given the Nelly tip drill video. Y'all was running that card. But it just, I think, so this is not a total Westmore problem. He does hint at that when he does his interviews. He doesn't call the legislature out by name. He does try to lean more on
over his shit.
He leans more on his Larry Hogan piece, which, again, great at staying on message, but he does hint at this also being a legislature problem, which I find very interesting and am interested to see what the dynamic is going this session as we discuss the budget. I will say I am disappointed in the governor from the means of, yes, you're giving us the highlights and that's your job. But one of the things that Trump said, that there is a lack of transparency in government. And there's a lot of robbing Peter to pay Paul in this budget, in his proposed budget. And he keeps saying that Maryland hasn't seen growth. And he talks about how he's the growth governor, but he's like, and quantum and STEM and this and this. But at no point in any of this interview, in any of these interviews, does he lay out his plan of like, yes, there are a bunch of cuts, but this is how, these are the sectors that we're about to invest in to grow the economy. And this is where we're going to see this money later down the line. And that is where I find problem with this whole thing. It's just like, you keep saying we're going to see the best decade. We keep hearing that we're investing all these different sectors, that we're doing all these things. But if you're going to propose a budget that where you've taking $2 billion in cuts and you've been pretty moderate. I mean, the budget is not all bad. There are some great, great pieces of the budget. So I don't want to be unfair in saying that it's this disastrous budget, because it's not. This is not totally his fault. And I wouldn't even be unfair in laying that totally at his feet. It's just not that we wouldn't be honest arbiters of the truth. But what I will say is, you are in charge. You are sitting in the seat, and you do want
the bus stops with you, buddy.
So you need to tell us what's the plan. So not only do I want to see your budget, but I want to see what sectors are you putting state money in, so we can see growth later down the line.
I think this is where Republicans have a point about Democrats when it comes to government and spending. If we look over the last, I mean, they said the deficit started in 2017. If we look back at 2017 to now, has everything that Democrats, that our legislature has pushed to spend money on, was it necessary? And I don't mean necessary, like, did we need to have childcare subsidies, or like, did we need grants for community schools? I mean, like, were there things that could have been given to private enterprise to handle with incentives in order to get them to do it? I am in the repro space. I love repro work. I think repro is very important. A lot of money has been given to repro in Maryland. Do I think that money, like, do I think the number, whether it's a million or like whatever, 2 million, 10 billion. Do I think that money is needed in the space? Absolutely. Do I also think that there is an economic class here that would be willing to give the money with the right incentives? Yes. I also think that when we talk about innovation and business and cultivating business here, when we look at the high incomes in the DC area, it's not people who work in STEM fields. It's not people who work, or it is people who work in STEM fields, but it's not people who work at like STEM companies. It's not people who work at tech companies. It's not people who are like their own business owners outside of like Under Armour. It's people who work for the government and government contractors. So we aren't like, and the reason why is because this place is too fucking expensive to live. Why would a company move here when they can move to Austin? And their employees have no state's tax. And yeah, maybe the schools aren't great, but these people make a shit ton of money. They can send their kid to whatever private school they want. Like, this area is extremely expensive to live in. And that will always deter business from wanting to come here, because it is difficult for their employees to make a strong living here. It's why Discovery left. It's why companies leave all the time, because it's difficult to attract talent here. Most of the people here who make good money work in DC. They don't have a fucking choice. You think if NIH moved to fucking Nebraska, people wouldn't get their ass up and go? Like, there's a reason why Walmart is still headquartered in Arkansas. This place is expensive as fuck to live. So, like, you want to attract business, you want to attract all these things. People come here because they have to. They don't necessarily come here because they want to. And you're not making it easy for people to want to be here, because I don't know what I'm getting out of it. I ain't got no fucking kids. I don't have any kids in school. It's me and my dog. I don't get a tax write-off for that motherfucker. So what am I doing here?
I'll say, as someone who is blessed to work for a certain company and to make the kind of money that I do make. I will say, you know, it was my goal to like see six figures before I hit 30. And I've met that goal. After taxes, I make like probably like 85.
Wild. Wild.
you saw how much I made gross, you would like, oh yeah, she make it. But after tax,
who are you telling? Working where I was working, and I was like, I'm making big money. And then I moved back here and the taxes are hitting. I said, now the devil is a lie. This is how Republicans are made. And what are you taking all this money for?
And that's it. Because sometimes I just don't feel like the juice is worth the squeeze. My grandmother went to a hospital, but unfortunately had to go to the emergency room this week, and the wait time was long, and the service was poor. And that says more about the hospital system, but I'm just like, this is where we're at, and the quality of life is not good. The air quality, you know, Representative Quaison Fume just is calling for a study on air quality in this area. Like, it's just, DC is a wonderful, the DMV area is a wonderful place to live. There's different diversity of people, languages, food, there's things to do. I'm a museum, arts, theater girly, so I love it here. But when I think about my mother wants me to have a child, and when I think a lot of my drawback is just like, I have to be married to have a kid. Like, thinking about, okay, money goes here, money goes here, here. I would like to buy my first piece of property. And I'm like, support who? With what?
It is so expensive to live here. Like, and it's not only expensive in terms of the taxes and the amount of money taken out and like the cost of living with like apartments are expensive. It's the metro adds up quickly. Like parking at the metro was $6, $7, $10. But taking the metro in and out, traffic here. I was in traffic on Friday. It was 1 o'clock in the afternoon. It took me an hour and a half to get to where I was going. It's 1 o'clock. A couple days before that, I was in traffic around 1 o'clock in the afternoon, 2 hours to get to where I was going. And I'm like, it is mentally draining. On top of the fact that, yeah, I'm making good money, but my taxes are crazy. I'm barely home to enjoy what's left of the fruit of my labor because I'm in traffic all the live long day. The food's expensive. The grocery stores are expensive. Like, it is expensive to live here.
And a lot of people, especially in Prince George's and in Baltimore City, live in food deserts. You can't even get good quality produce except for certain places in the city. I'm sorry. Because I don't want us to get sued. We're a baby podcast. There is a grocery store that is prominent in Baltimore City. I will say that this grocery store is not quality food. You look at it and it looks like it died 2 weeks ago. And the fact that my grandmother has to eat this food, like, I help subsidize her groceries because I just want her to have quality food to eat. Like, this is where we're living. And so when I think about, you know, Texas does a lot of things not well. They really do grocery stores, well, HEB and other, like, you should be able to go and get quality foods, and your dollar should stretch long past you. Like we said last week, Americans don't want a lot. So when I think about Maryland's budget, and I think as a young woman who is going into the next stage of her life, who does want to be married, who does want to have kids, I don't see myself staying here at this point. And I know that is something that the governor and other people want. They want other, they want people to stay and have families here. That's what keeps money in a state.
Right.
And I'm just like, how? Like,
I've been
the
told you I
juice
was
is just
leaving.
not.
I mean,
The juice
it's
is
just like I grew up in a house that sold for almost $3 million when my parents sold it and downsized. I could not afford to live in that neighborhood now, which is fine. I ain't got six kids, so I don't give a fuck. But even to live like down the street in like a smaller, I would say like a starter home, like a 3-bedroom, 2-bathroom, those homes are $500,000 to $600,000 if they've been remodeled. Once you make a certain amount of money, like they're asking you for 20%. Who is saving $120,000? How? If you're making 120, 140, even 150,000 a year, even if you and your partner make 300,000 a year, how are you saving 20%? It living here in an apartment that's probably 2,000 to 2,500 a month. You probably have two cars,
Two
or maybe taking the
thousand twenty
metro.
five hundred.
Yeah, $2,500 to $3,000 a month. Like you have student loans because let's be real, if you're making that much money, you probably have a couple degrees that you're paying loans off of. Like, who is supposed to be able to get there unless you're taking out a PMI and doing one of the like, what are those? The like 3.5% down, which comes with all of its own other things of like a PMI and higher cost and insurance. Like that's not easy either. It does not, again, change the fact that the average home price in a place like Montgomery County is $500,000, $500,000 to buy a home is insane. How are you attracting people to a place where the homes are five times the highest salary on average? It just doesn't make any sense. And how are you going to get people to grow in place here? Because that's the other part of it. If I'm staying here, it's because I have a family or I want to start a family and I want to be near my family. Not if I can afford it. If I can afford it, I'm going to go somewhere else and tell my family to come with me.
Yeah, I'm not, I tell my mother I don't see myself being that attached. Like, especially if you want me, if you want me to have a kid, I gotta move. Like, there are other major cities that at least Chicago or New York has a thriving metro system or
So
has
many people in my
boroughs.
family have moved their entire family, the multi generations out to Texas, out to the West Coast, have moved a whole unit because it's cheaper.
And as a
And
person
they're
who
still making the
enjoys,
same
like,
amount of money they were making here.
oh, we could have, I could have been bought a house if I lived in Texas. At like,
Okay.
it, there are people I went to college with who at like age 25 were buying homes in Texas. Why? Because it's just that cheap to buy a home. Like, you can get a 4-bedroom. I've seen like many McMansions in Houston go for like 300,000. This is what 300,000 gets you in Houston. You're like, 300,000 in Maryland gets you a sliver of a townhome.
And it's not
Good
going to be a
luck.
remodeled one either. It's going to be a busted, built in the 1970s, has had more roach infestations than a fucking mail through the slot townhome. It's going to be gross and you're going to have to remodel it.
So that's another at least 100K. So by the
Yeah.
time you're in your home, you're settled, you've probably spent what,
The
450?
You probably spent the 500,000 that you thought you were saving 200,000 of when you bought a $300,000 down home.
Exactly. You haven't even insured it yet. and pay. And depending on where you live, property taxes. If you live in Baltimore, not only do you have a city tax. There are a couple of different taxes you have if you live in Baltimore City. If you live in Montgomery, Prince George's, yeah. So you have additional taxes and fees for living in a independent municipality. If you live in one of the counties, you have Montgomery, Prince George's, Howard. I'm trying to think of the top tax, property tax jurisdictions. I believe it's Montgomery, Howard, and Prince George's are the top three. Crazy property taxes. So it's just like, when you think about living here, for him to say, oh, well, we didn't raise property taxes yet at the state because of the way you've done your budget, the counties
are taking care of it for us.
They said, oh, we're not going to be able to foot this bill. We might as well, come on. your stuff is great. And I do think about, as someone who, to your point, MJ, does want to go back to school, mostly because it would further me in my career, not because I like books. I do like books, but it would give me, it would
open, like Wendy
crying. I do like, but going back to school would further my career. It would give me a skill set that would allow me to do various different things in my career. So that means I will have to pay for that. In addition, wanting to have a child, at least one, right? Because having, I don't know how some of y'all are paying for multiples, but when you actually look at some, and this is just me veering to the side a little bit, but when you do look at like certain influencers or certain people who have all these kids, you notice where they live. They live in Utah. They live in Texas, in the South. Like, or the Midwest. They live in states where it is affordable to live. And I don't know how, when we talk about living long term and investing in a state, right now Maryland is not one of those states. Unless you are actively working for one of the big agencies, working directly for the White House, or working directly for DC government, find you somewhere else to live, because it's just like, I don't understand. It's hard to, the math is not mathing. It just isn't. Agencies are moving from the DMV because it's cheaper to fund the agency somewhere else in the states.
And if they don't want to move, 47 gonna move them.
Like, it's not, so we're about, like, when you think about where Trump is thinking about taking the country, what the Maryland state budget looks like has a huge impact on national policy, more than we think it does. Because if it's expensive to build an agency building, FBI, like, we want football stadiums, we want agency buildings. And if it's too expensive on property taxes, cost of living, people, like, I just realized that, not just in this moment, but like as I've been looking at Trump's proposals in terms of agencies, like a lot of these agencies have already started moving their jobs to Texas, to Georgia, to other places in the Midwest, in the South, because the cost of living and the cost that the agency incurs annually to run is a lot less when it's in a different state.
It is way cheaper. And at the end of the day, yeah, you're going to have people who don't want to move. Like, you will. There'll be people who are like, I'm not fucking moving to Tennessee. Like, I remember when Discovery moved. There were people who were like, I'm not fucking moving there. Baby, you don't think somebody going to take your place? Nancy Pelosi said it herself. Everybody is replaceable. Some people may be more difficult to replace than others, but everybody is replaceable. And now you just got somebody on unemployment, which that can be a whole other episode. But yeah, I think the budget is just, I understand that we have a huge hole that we are trying to fix, and it is no joke. I also think this is something that should have been done 2 years ago instead of now, but we are where we are.
And I do think if we don't get this right, Maryland will have to come to an account.
Tax of the rain. That is where we will be come this time next year. Mm-hmm. They'll be talking about we're taxing the rain.
So I think that you all, this I would advise the governor, his team, as they say, get the calculators out, get the pencils out, run that, do the math again. I would encourage our legislators to think about what are the priorities, what are the bread and butter issues that are necessities for
Marylanders. A couple of them have already made clear that they appreciate a thoughtful first draft and they look forward to starting the process of the back and forth. I was like, there you go. Because thoughtful is a word.
A lot is being said and unsaid in that one sentence. But I think
not in first draft. If somebody called my budget a first draft, I'd be like, the fuck? My team took like a whole ass year to put this shit together. First draft.
It does. It takes the agencies start talking budget like for the next year, like end of March. Yeah. We haven't even they start telling you gather your things so we can do budget for the next year.
I imagine you're just and then imagine the legislator being like, this is such a cute little first draft. Thank you so much. You did such a good little job. You're so smart. Oh, look at you. You little first draft. You're so thoughtful. You is kind. You is smart. And you is important. That's what it was given. But
well, I think we'll just close the segment out and say this year and the next 4 years are, Trump was right. These will be some of the most consequential years in our lifetime. This will forever change the outcome of generations of children yet to be born, the rest of our lives. So the decisions you make today will impact your tomorrow. So I would encourage everyone, you ain't got to get deep into the budget, but you should definitely Google and look at the governor's highlights. I would encourage you to go back while you're washing dishes, cooking for your family, to listen to Trump's inaugural speech.
Not everybody.
You need to know what's coming.
Not everybody has the temperament to listen to Trump give a speech while they are either doing the dishes or like walking around the house and cleaning. You can also probably find the highlights in your Washington Post, your New York Times. And if you're like, oh my God, those are owned by billionaires now, you can't trust them. Jeff Bezos was there. I'm sure there's another online news source you can find, a journalist that you like, where you can read the tippy
top. Well, listen, I hear what you're saying. I also give a nice little neurodivergent tease over here on this side, a Zion, and I got through it. So if I can do it.
I'm just saying. I don't even think it's about being neurodivergent. I feel like there are some people, especially liberals, y'all gonna have me out here feeling like I'm calling liberals snowflakes, but they're just like, oh my God, I can't even listen to him. I like, can't even hear him talk. It just makes my skin boil. Like the idea of like listening to Trump, I just can't do it. It's so traumatizing. So for those people, go read an article.
Well, we're gonna close out this section, but I think the overall message is arm yourselves with knowledge. Get to reading, get to listening. Arm yourself with the facts that are going to be able for you to better make decisions for yourself, your family, and your community, because we do have a midterm election coming up in 2026. So as my favorite quote from Borgia, which was a great episodic series from Jeremy Irons, you know, do not let the most Do not let the Most High God find you wanting. So be prepared and strength and honor. Now,
Star was so fine on that show. He was so fine. So fine. I was like, oh, this is the kind of Pope that I need. Father God, praise Jesus. Amen.
Oh my God. No. And he was running through him too. He was like, you. Just
I love Jeremy Irons, especially that accent.
Oh, and his voice is just the right level of deep. Like, it's not too deep where it's like, ooh, what's happening there? Yes. And it in the English accent, and it's raspy. Yeah.
That OG Scar, I'm just like,
yeah. I haven't seen Mufasa yet. I'm gonna look at it, but I don't think it's gonna give what I needed to give. And I'm
so sorry. The actor, obviously we're segueing here for a second, the actor who played Scar says that for adult Scar, he actually tried to embody a bit of Jeremy Irons' Scar to show the transition from him being Taka to him being Scar. And that part of the transition is the change in his voice, so that it made sense and the characters had some continuance. And you can kind of hear it in the movie where, like, at the end, he's like, call me Scar. Like, he, like, kind of, like, you kind of feel it. You're like, oh.
Okay. I look forward to seeing Calvin Harris
Is that a little baby? Yeah, I'm like, is that a little baby Jeremy Irons in there? Ooh.
Oh, my God.
Oh my God, Jeremy Irons is so fine. But let's transition to On This Day in History.
Just some highlights. We did talk about all the inaugurations. Just want to highlight that the famous My Fellow American speech that happened in 1961 was given on this day by John Fitzgerald Kennedy. And
Chowder.
That's not how that makes. He did sound like that. I can't even.
Yes, he did. He sure said Chowder.
So I and his would be nephew is actually now the official secretary for the Department of Health. Congratulations to RFK Jr.
Really? Because whatever that whole family has forsaken that man. They're like, mm-mm.
You know what? I will say, whether for good or for bad, Kennedy is going to find some power.
And they have amazing hairlines. The hairline is always...
Oh, the hairline. Even RFK, head full of hair. Audrey Hepburn was also born on this day. Shout out to her. We love a breakfast at Tiffany's. Of course, Obama and many other presidents were sworn in. And of course, it is MLK Day. But we want to highlight some other on this day for those of you who will be listening on the 22nd. MJ. Mama Repo.
I want to talk about Roe versus Wade, which happened on January 22nd. I believe last year was the 50-year anniversary, but let me pull it up.
Yep.
Yeah. That was 84. I think with profound sadness, today was the passing of Cecile Richards, who passed away after battling brain cancer for quite some time. For folks who don't know, Cecile Richards was the CEO of Planned Parenthood for quite a while. And when she did step down, it was like a huge thing, and that like the successor didn't really work out and they ended up going to someone else and blah, blah, blah. But, you know, daughter of Ann Richards, the last Democratic governor of Texas,
my favorite
band. Oh, more than Dubs?
Yes.
Okay.
Ann Richards is the reason why I am a Democrat. I think if anything, I would be a Texas Democrat if I really had to pigeonhole myself. She is the reason why I think the way I do, the reason why I want more women in politics to wear skirts. She wore a famous red lip, huge big hair, huge earrings, and she was always the consummate lady, but always a fierce fighter for progressive values. And her famous quote is, "I've been through fire and I won."
Well, as they say, God bless Texas. Back to Cecile. In 2018, when I was trying to figure out what I wanted to do post-cycle and how to figure out the next chapter of my life, a friend recommended looking at someone who's way further along their career than you and trying to figure out, like, what they did to get where they were, and are there points in their career that you can emulate or look for similar opportunities. And I immediately thought of Cecile Richards, who I was just like, she's such a badass. She is so, like, knowledgeable on the issue. There's so many leaders who, like, know about, like, their story in relation to an issue, but don't actually know what the fuck they're talking about when it comes to the issue as a whole. And the way that she would speak about not only repro in terms of abortion, which is just one part of reproductive rights, but about body autonomy, about maternal health, about late term versus early term, understanding, like, what fetal heartbeats even mean, like, all of the things surrounding abortion, like, and surrounding repro rights. Amazing. And she passed today, January 20th. So I did just want to, like, really hold space for her and the trailblazer that she was. And in thinking about Roe v. Wade, one, that woman, Jane Roe, has since become, like, a hardcore anti-choice. I don't use the term pro-life because I think that's bullshit. You're either pro-choice or anti-choice. We're all going to be on the same. We're all going to use the same verbiage here. So has become a hardcore anti-choice advocate since then. And of course, we saw Dobbs a couple years ago that's led to the repeal of abortion, or basically, like, a 6-week ban, which most women, even if you know you're pregnant at 6 weeks, they can't determine a heartbeat. So it's bullshit. So yes, that happened in 51 years ago on Wednesday, and we are fighting in every state to get those rights back ever since, and hopefully people will have body autonomy soon enough.
Thank you. I will say, no, Cecile, it was and in many ways still is a pioneer. Her legacy in many ways, I think, is a continuation of her mom's legacy and the way that she was able to. It's hard being the daughter of or the son of, and I think she just did such an excellent job of being her own person and an really amazing standing.
Nepo baby. We need more Nepos to be like that and less to be the other type. You know,
I will say, I had the honor of having a couple of email exchanges with Cecile privately. One, because she was actually supposed to be a speaker at a central committee dinner that I was hosting. We couldn't make it work with her schedule at the time. And when she and I reconnected later, I didn't know at the time, but didn't realize would soon come to know that she and I could never connect in person because she did at the time, in fact, have brain cancer. So I will say much of what you see from Cecile at Planned Parenthood was started when she worked as a labor organizer before she went to college. She worked as a labor organizer for a couple of years before she even stepped on a campus and even after she continued in the labor movement. So RIP to her. And I'll just say, I think this is a great, you know, hurrah or huzzah to the Richards family for the work that they have done and continue to do in honor of those two beautiful blonde women. To close out this day on history, speaking of labor, little world history, shout out to the Netherlands, for those of you listening, the two of you listening to the podcast.
I'm sorry, what did you call that country?
The Netherlands? Isn't that how it's pronounced?
Netherlands. The Netherlands.
But I've heard somebody say the, I've heard people say the Netherlands. Like, that's the
proper pronunciation. There's no I, and there's only one E.
I'm just saying that's how I've heard people pronounce it.
Was the person you heard pronounce it Dutch?
I believe so. We'll have this debate offline, but the Netherlands, shout out to y'all. But on this day, January 20th in history, if you are a fan of the construction and deconstruction of governments and revolutions, it was Bloody Sunday in Russia when the labor movement, outside, Russia is actually quite known for their labor movement, which led way to their communist party under Stalin and Lenin. But in 1905, they had what is known as Bloody Sunday, when a group of unarmed activists and workers from the manufacturers held a protest, and the government actually opened fire on a on this group, and it is known in Russian history as Bloody Sunday, and it is actually a significant event that led to the Russian Revolution. So, a little factoid for you there. RIP again to Cecile Richards. We thank you guys for hanging out what will be part one and part two this week. And MJ, close us out, babes.
Question. So was the reference to the Netherlands simply because we have listeners there and not like any historic association with what you were? Okay. Thanks for listening to the Twice as Good podcast. You can find us on Apple, Spotify, and wherever you listen. Follow us on Instagram as Twice as Good Podcast, on X as TwiceasGood_pod, and check out our website, TwiceasGoodPodcast.com, for more information. All opinions and jokes shared today are those of MJ Craig and Dallas Kyle. We are not affiliated with or paid for by any political party or political group to produce this content. And we'll see you next week. Bye.
Bye.